Morning, everybody. I'm a graduate student at the University of New Mexico working with Greg Taylor. Also like to take a quick second to thank my collaborators, Roger Romani, Joe Himmel, Tony Reedhead, Rodrigo Reeves, and Joey Richards.
Okay.
So real quick, obviously the tools that we're using are Fermi and BLBI. In particular, we use the BLBA run by the NRAO. So our sample, we have lat detected and a non-lat sample. Our lat detected sample is 244 sources from the one lat catalog. 102 of these sources are BIP sources, 90 of which were observed twice. We have also 7 sources that are in the Mojave catalog and 135 sources that were not in BIPs or Mojave. The BIPs observations were made prior to and during 2006, and the new observations were made between November 2009 and 2010. And all of our observations were at 5 gigahertz. For our non-lat sample, we basically took all of the lat sources out of the BIPs catalog, which left behind 1,018 sources, also done at 5 gigahertz. So we took a page out of Dr. Lister's book and looked for the gamma ray loudness, so took the ratio of the gamma ray to radio luminosity, and obviously found that all of our sources are gamma ray loud. We looked at both the 1FGL and the 2FGL gamma ray flux levels. Unfortunately, we didn't have lots of observations on our sources, so these are just instead of averages on the radio flux densities, we just had our most recent flux density measurements. So, as many other people have found, we found correlations between the gamma ray flux and the radio flux density. The BLAC objects and the FSRQs have very strong correlations. There's a tentative correlation for the AGN and other, so anything that's in the one-lat catalog classified as AGN, AGU, or unknown, we kind of throw into this AGN and other subsample. So we take away from this that the radio and the gamma ray emission are probably related since there's a nice strong correlation. Oh, sorry. For the correlation test, we use the non-parametric Spearman test. So that's where we get the rho and the p-value. Looking at the flux densities, the lat FSRQs seem to have significantly higher core and total 5 gigahertz flux density values than the non-lat FSRQs. Obviously, you can see in here in the histogram, they are pretty significant out in that high end there. The lat BLACs, there's not really a big difference between them or for the AGNs either. So the lat FSRQs are starting to appear to be extreme sources. Looking at the core polarization, we found that the percentage of sources polarized is significantly higher for lat than for non-lat blazars. So in the red here, we have our non-lat samples, so the BIPs with all the lat sources taken out. Compare that to the lat BIP sources, so this is the prior to and during 2006. You can see there's a fairly significant difference. Our follow-up sources on the BIP sources, which we call BIPs plus, is a huge difference. And then this is the extra 135 sources that we looked at. So strong uniform magnetic fields in the cores of these objects appear to be tied to gamma ray emission. Bringing it down a little more. So again, this is just using our most recent observations. The lat sources are significantly more likely to be polarized. So 76% versus about 27%. But the fractional polarization is actually slightly less in our lat sources than for our non-lat sources, which is we were very surprised by. It's very different than other people reported, especially Hovada et al. In 2010. So our lat median was about 3.3% versus a non-lat of 4.4%. The FSRQ core fractional polarization appears, the distribution appears to be slightly different than the non-lats. Using a Kolmogorov-Smirnov test, we got a 0.4% probability that they're both drawn from the same parent sample. That's not a huge significance from a KS test, but it is an interesting hint that they might be different. So again, lat sources are polarized more often, but at least what we're finding, they don't necessarily appear to be more strongly polarized in the cores. Since we had two APOCs of observations on some of these sources, we looked at changes. 48 of our 90 sources showed higher core fractional polarization during LAT detection than prior to. 15 sources had no detectable core polarization in either epoch, and only 3 of our sources went from polarized before in our first observation to completely unpolarized in our second observation. Unfortunately, we don't know what the gamma rays were doing in both epochs because obviously the VIP sample was taken before Fermi was up there. Looking at our core brightness temperatures, the CAS test indicates that the FSRQs are very different between the LAT and the non-LAT samples, and you can see just by your eye, this is a kind of an updated version of the plot that was shown slightly earlier. So, and again, the FSRQs seem to have a higher median core brightness temperature, so almost more than twice as high for the LAT than the non-LAT. The BLX, can't really say much about them. The CAS test doesn't really say whether they're similar. It just really tests whether they're different. But just kind of looking by eye, they look fairly similar. So again, more hints that these LAT FSRQs are extreme samples of or examples of FSRQs. Looking for some correlations in the core brightness temperature, we found a significant correlation between core brightness temperature and gamma ray loudness in both the 1FGL and the 2FGL data. It's a negative, using the Spearman test, it's a negative correlation coefficient. So the higher the core temperature, the lower the gamma ray loudness. We also found a correlation between core brightness temperature and the peak in the synchrotron frequency, so where the synchrotron frequency peaks versus, where the synchrotron emission peaks versus frequency, but only for the BLX. And that's shown here. Also another negative Spearman coefficient. Turning to our jet opening angles, we only had measurements, or good measurements, on about 49 of our sources, unfortunately. But you can see from the graph here that a lot of them tend to pile up in this area, or not pile up, I suppose, but show up in this area of greater than 30 degrees opening angle, which is significantly different from the distribution of our non-LAT sources. So there is evidence that LAT sources have larger opening angles. To do a KS test, we lumped our BLAC and FSRQs into one larger data set. And again, it's not a huge result, only a 0.4% chance that they're drawn from the same parent sample. But it's still a hint, and it does back up what other people have found, that these LAT sources tend to have larger opening angles. Apparent opening angles, thank you, yes. Right. Again, emulating what Dr. Lister has done, he reported a nonlinear relation between jet opening angle and gamma ray loudness. We found a hint of a correlation, but only for the FSRQs and only in the 2FGL data, so only using the LAT fluxes given in 2FGL. And again, it's 0.9%. Or a significance value of 0.9%, so not a huge significance, but at least interesting. So turning to some of the jet characteristics, going away from the cores, we looked at for jet bending and jet length distributions, and between the LAT and the non-LAT samples, there doesn't seem to be any significant difference. The LAT FSRQs appear to have higher jet brightness temperatures than the non-LATs, though. KS test was rather significant. You can see the distribution definitely peaked at a higher end. So putting all this together, what are we thinking here? First of all, our LAT BLX sample is almost 4 times the size of our non-LAT sample. So LAT BLX just appear to be, in fact, could there be BLX out there that are very radio quiet and are also not emitting gamma rays? I don't think that's the case, but I suppose the possibility. We did find only 3 very small differences between the LAT and the non-LAT samples. Our LAT BLX have core polarization more often, but not even twice as often. The LAT BLX are more often what we call a long jet morphology, which means they had an apparent jet size of at least 6 milliarc seconds, where non-LAT samples tend to be more either a short jet or a point source morphology. Was unexpected. We actually figured that our LAT sources would be more likely to be point sources. and the left BLX may have larger opening angles. So it seems likely, at least to us, that BLX, that all BLX are producing gamma rays, and either we don't see them, either because we don't see all of them, either because of variability, or maybe some of them just have slightly lower Doppler factors. For the FSRQs, the LAT FSRQs appear to be very different from the non-LAT FSRQs. They have higher radial flux densities, both in the cores and total flux densities. They have higher core and jet brightness temperatures. They're more often polarized, almost three times more often polarized, and they may have larger opening angles. Also, 28 of 44 LAT FSRQs that had observations of two epochs showed an increase in the core polarization during LAT detection. So it seems that these LAT FSRQs are extreme examples of FSRQs. You can explain it with Doppler boosting, but they require a higher Doppler factor than the BLX. And Lister et al. Reported in 2009, looking at their sample, looking at their Mojave sources, that the median jet speeds for FSRQs was more than a factor of two higher than for BLX. So that helps explain that difference. Putting this together with some constraints on the gamma ray emitting region, the correlation between the radial flux density and the gamma ray flux indicates that the synchrotron and inverse Compton emissions are related, so the gamma rays are probably coming from the jets, because that's where the synchrotron electrons are. But most of the differences that we find between a LAT and a non-LAT samples are related to the cores, which makes us think that the gamma rays are coming from somewhere near the base of the jet. It's possible that BLX and FSRQs have slightly different emission mechanisms, as was brought up earlier. This isn't really based on our studies, but more on modeling that others have done. Thank you. That the BLX are usually fit fairly well by synchrotron self-Compton models, whereas FSRQs may need a little external inverse Compton. So our conclusions. The BLX are probably all producing gamma rays, but we don't detect all some of them because of low Doppler factors or variability. Gamma ray loud FSRQs are extreme sources with high radial flux densities at high brightness temperatures. There's a hint that LAT blazars have larger apparent jet opening angles. Strong uniform magnetic fields in the cores or at the base of the jets appears to be important for gamma ray emission, and the gamma rays are probably coming from the base of the jets. Thank you.
Get out of the way of that. Okay. So the rule here that they did, well, maybe all BLX
can
get gamma ray
right
before the sensitivity of plot.
Right.
You cannot say the same thing for the FSRQ?
No, we can't. We have a lot more gamma ray quiet FSRQs. So if we see a lot of FSRQs that just do not emit gamma rays, as opposed to the BLX. So, like I said, our LAT sample of BLX was four times as large as our non-LAT sample. That's definitely not the case in the FSRQs. It's the other way around. We have four times as many non-LAT FSRQs as LAT FSRQs. And we also know that we have very bright FSRQs in our non-LAT sample that aren't emitting gamma rays. So I don't think that all FSRQs are emitting gamma rays. Well, that wasn't ours, that was based on the hobby. And this was the apparent the apparent opening angle might have to kind of break this up. Right. Yes.
And you do it sometimes for many, many, many efforts. So that's the feeling
threatened.
Huge significance if there's a big one. So yeah, other people have reported that the medians were higher. We're reporting that they're lower. There, it's possible that both studies, it's not really all that significant.
I don't think it's like.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Ian. We're going now to the Southern Hemisphere. I'm going to be moving myself on this.